enabled me to do was to do that introspection, to do that inventory, to look inside. And just like I had a warehouse, I'd go into the warehouse and look at stock and see that some of the stock I didn't need no more. Some of it was worthless, and I'd get rid of it. But then there was some that I should keep. You know, so I was able to keep that. And through the mercy of Allah's infinite wisdom, he told me that I only had to admit the nature of my wrongs to one person. So I got with this person. I got up one morning. I prayed and asked Allah for forgiveness. I looked in the mirror and forgave myself. Then I got with this brother, and we went down to Nathan's on 44th Street and Broadway. And I read my fourth step to him, or my fifth step. And the beauty of this program, you see, because there's some things in there I ain't never going to admit to. I ain't never going to talk about in Narcotics Anonymous. See, because my sponsor said, don't even go for that part about tell everything. He said, don't go in there and get them rooms and get no people no ammunition to use against you. Because your higher power said you had to tell one person the nature of your wrong. You know, so I read it, and the blessing was when I got to some pieces that was hard for me to get through, he got closer. You know, then we did a little ritual afterwards. He burned it in the ashtray, and we left. So, then I became willing to have my character defects removed. Not ready, because some of them I like. But I found out that the things that I liked when I was getting high, they wasn't fun no more when I wasn't getting high. You know, and that most prevalent one, lust that jumped up, was dragging me through the rooms and Narcotics Anonymous like the drugs was dragging me through the streets. My primary purpose was not to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. My primary purpose was not to be seen by a particular person in the rooms. And that was miserable. You see, because one thing my sponsor told me that really sticks out, he said, man, the most painful thing you can experience in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is to act and think like a dope fiend and don't have dope. And this is about change. This is about change. You know, so the manifestation of all my character defects and my seven step shortcomings. You know, and I remember reading something that the prophet was saying to one of his disciples. He said that ignorance reproduces self until it grows weary of its offspring. And through my ignorance, my offspring was all over the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, mixed up in this gossip, mixed up in that gossip, hooked up in that relationship, hooked up in this relationship, and was miserable. Why should I be in the room? What message was I carrying? This ain't no message of hope. What does a newcomer care? A newcomer comes in feeling miserable and then hear a miserable-ass story. He don't need to hear that. Then I was able to make a list. And they told me to put my name on top of the list. But for the life of me, I couldn't put my name on the top of that list. See, not when I saw my children, you see, because that list is tough, man. And I'm going to tell you, this is like for the newcomer. Don't go to the list. Don't try to do no next step when you come in here. You see, because when you go to the video, see that video up here, when it comes on just like it happened yesterday. You see, because I couldn't put my name on the list first when I saw my kid's face, when I took all the money out the house. When I saw my wife going to the pawn shop to pawn her wedding band because I had taken all the money. See, I couldn't put my name on the list in front of my mother and father who didn't give birth to a dope fiend, who had high aspirations. See, who wanted the best for him. I couldn't put my name on the list and I used to sit around and complain and talk to my disease. And my disease used to tell me, come on, Jamil. You was a volunteer in this army, remember? I didn't have no draft. He said, what do you think my job is? My job is to humiliate you. My job is to make your children hate you. My job is to make your family members don't want you around. My job is to take all your friends away, to leave you out there lonely, humiliated, frustrated. That's my job. He said, don't accuse me of making you do anything, because all I did was call you. He said, I ain't never had no power over you. And what they saying here, if you don't pick it up, you don't what?
Yeah.
You don't you. He said, I ain't never had no power over you. All I did was call you. You give me the power when you answer the call. When you pick it up, I got the power. Because when we put it down, we ain't no longer powerless. I'm powerless when we pick it up. So I made that list. And I talked about resentments. And I ain't talking about the resentments I had. Or I did talk about some of the resentments I had, but I talked about why I had them. Because I had them because I had done something to somebody who did something to me to make me have a resentment. It wasn't valid resentments. You know, and I talked about the procrastination, all those things that affected other people's lives. You know, something I didn't do. Something I said I'm going to do tomorrow. Something I said I'm going to do the next day. Then in that ninth step, I was able to make some of those amends whenever possible. And that's why I'm saying for the newcomer, don't go there. Because he said whenever possible, except when you harm yourself or someone else. Because I had a sponsee, told me he had done a mini ninth. Went home and told his wife some stuff she was unaware of. And I said, where you going now? See, I'm going down there and see if I can get in the men's show. Well, he went home and hatched up some stuff. I need guidance through the steps. You know, so 10, I just try to take an inventory on a daily basis. You know, look back over the day and see if I wronged anybody so I can properly admit to my wrongs, you know. And 11, I seek through prayer and meditation to prove that conscious contact. You see, because although I say Allah, and it might be a different philosophy from a lot of people in this room, it don't mean that I can't relate to Amazing Grace. See, it don't mean that when my mother used to sing that song, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Like, I don't relate to that. See, it don't mean that I don't relate to the Winans when they sing, millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. See, I relate to all that stuff. So I try to improve my conscious contact, praying only for the knowledge of his will. And I know his will is not for me to be a powerful example, but an example of the power. What he's done for me, any newcomer to come in here, he's new for anybody else in this room. If you're just coming in here and you feel like dog doo-doo, thank your higher power. Because that's the feeling that got you in here. If you was feeling good, had a pocket full of drugs, you wouldn't be here. It's the misery that got us. If we could use without the misery, this room would be empty. Empty. He be taping the invisible man. Oh, man. For 12, we try to carry this message. I try to carry this message to the actors who still suffer. And there's many wounded out there. We see them all the time, y'all. We see them all the time. The wounded is out there in the street. We try to carry this message. By example, though, we can't promote this program. You know, an example for the newcomers is that when they come to an anniversary, they should see us dressed up. We should act like something's changed in our lives. That's the enthusiasm that we have to, that there's a basic principle of recovery. Enthusiasm, being enthusiastic.
Yes.
See, but you can't be enthusiastic if you're going through the same old shit.
Right.
Something's got to change in your life. You got to make some changes. Because a newcomer, I used to hate when I was a cop, that white shit that settled into the bottom of the cooker. Because I knew it was cut. And I'm saying that we got to practice, or I have to practice, the rule, the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. So when the newcomer come in, we don't give him cut. He deserves a pill. That's the message that we should carry. We shouldn't carry the message that I'm hooked up with so-and-so's woman. We don't have to carry the message, sisters, that you got to be a hoe to be in Narcotics Anonymous. That's not the message. We don't carry the message that you got to be a pimp to be in Narcotics Anonymous. This is a spiritual program. The message is hope. The message is that any addict who wants to stop using can lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. Hope. There's so many blessings in Narcotics Anonymous. But I often say that Narcotics Anonymous hasn't given me anything, but it's afforded me so many opportunities. You see, because this is not a program of osmosis. Shit, this don't happen because you're in Narcotics Anonymous. You got to do some things. You see, what Narcotics Anonymous has been able to do is what our spiritual leader always tells us, to die before you die. He's given me the opportunity in 10 years to chip away at the old Jamil that walked in the door 10 years ago. It's given me the opportunity to work on some of those character defects. It's given me the opportunity to chip away at some of that jealousy, that resentment, that anger, those frustrations. See, it's given me the most important opportunity that I could ever be afforded in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and that's the opportunity to rewrite my obituary. So when I die, people won't say what they would have said 10 years ago. It's given us the opportunity, it affords us the opportunity to be the best of parents. It affords us the opportunity to eradicate our communities of some of the ills that keep us at each other's throat. One of the biggest ones is racism. Gives us the opportunity. This is a spiritual program. You know. And my sponsor always used to say, man, that the higher power will not occupy the same space with the bullshit. Mm-hmm. One of them's gonna separate. And the higher power ain't going nowhere. So if in these rooms and you're new, latch on for the ride of your life. But this opportunity is a gift. It's a gift. A gift, but you have to cherish your gift. You have to look after a gift, put it in a safe place. Through the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man, I've seen people grow, come in with no high school diploma, become lawyers, and I'm serious. Come in and get PhDs and stuff like that, man. I'm telling you, man, this is the most blessed opportunity given to any people on the planet Earth, man. I mean, because my high power does that best work in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I've seen a brother who used to sleep in front of a liquor store. And I wish you could see the brother now, man. The brother be gleaming. And relapse is not a requirement. You know, like read the book that says relapse sometimes is the piece that lays the groundwork for recovery. Don't go for that piece. Relapse ain't nothing promising you. So if you're here, stay in here. You know, this ain't no sanctuary. You know, it wouldn't be fair for me after all those years, 20 years of wreaking havoc on people, hurting people, watching people cry, and doing all kind of stuff to them and coming to rooms and Narcotics Anonymous and get away scot-free. You know, the dues don't stop when you stop using. The dues start when you come into the rooms. And you got to feel what they felt. Because we become the Vicks now. We're the Vicks. We feel now. Tears, pain, unmedicated. I'm talking about holding on. From 1 minute to another minute. From prayer to prayer. You see, but one thing in Narcotics Anonymous, it gives you resiliency. It makes you resilient if you practice the principles. Just like the trees in Florida. When they're in the storm, you see them bend all the way over to the ground. But when the storm's over, they stand straight up. See, because there's a difference between going through shit and being stuck in shit. But with the enthusiasm that you get from working this program, it makes things that seem insurmountable easy. You know, again, man, it's like overwhelming honor to be down here with y'all, man. I wish I could stay for a month, but I gotta leave tomorrow. You know, so with that, I'm just gonna say love and respect, Raleigh, and thank you for allowing me to share with you.